Do you know that you could speak the Word of God? They spoke the Word of God. Could you share the truth of God from His Word to someone else rather than paraphrasing? Yes, we do paraphrase the gospel. That's okay. But could you share the Word of God?
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, in your message today, you share how we can endure the difficulties of life. And I got to tell you, it's a different message than what we normally hear on talk radio or what someone might read in a self-help book, isn't it?
David, is totally different. And it's different because we serve a good and gracious God who takes difficult circumstances and turns them into that which is for our good and for His glory. Whether the circumstances are difficult or easy, God will use them. Now today, from the Apostle Paul's example, we will see how to rightly view our circumstances. Our text is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And that, notice this, most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. You see, Paul's example has emboldened true believers to speak the gospel because of what God is doing. Now, I usually prefer the NASB translation, but I don't think it's the best reading. It says, those who are trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. I don't think that he's speaking about them coming to Christ because of their imprisonment. I actually think they've been given confidence and persuaded to then share the gospel because of his imprisonment. And how can I say that? Notice the word trusting here is not our normal word in Greek for faith, pistis or pistuo. It is a Greek word, patho, which means being persuaded or confident. Thus, I think the New King James does a better job doing this, and I have a translation here. And that most of the brethren, having become confident in the Lord by my chains, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. They become confident because of what God has done in the Apostle Paul through his chains. And folks, we should become confident too from this example. We should look at it and it should give us confidence. It should persuade us of what God does in the midst of difficulties. So what he's saying here is, as an unexpected result of Paul's circumstances, was an outpouring of confident, fearless, as we're going to see, proclamation of the Word of God. One pastor translates it this way: the great majority of believers come to a state of settled confidence in the Lord, have become influenced by the gentle persuasion of my shackles to take the step of confidence and more abundantly bold and fearlessly break silence and share the Word of God. Notice what he says. Now, I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorium, that most of the brethren trusting in, or better said, having become confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, fear is the issue. We fear what people will do. And now here, this was a time in Rome where they could get arrested. Paul got arrested. But they weren't going to be executed right away. But Caesar was the god. And you're speaking about another king Jesus, right? So it was a dangerous time to speak, but yet it wasn't like it would be in two or so years when Nero would come in, where many Christians would be killed for sharing Christ. But it was still dangerous. And there was fear. And for you and I, you know, we don't have that fear. We are not going to jail for sharing Christ right now in America. And that may come, but you're not going to go to jail for sharing the gospel. But we have the fear of how is someone going to respond, right? Let's be honest. We fear. Are they going to reject it? Are they going to think we're weird? You know, we have those fears. And here we see that they had become, because of Paul's imprisonment, confident in the Lord, not in themselves, but in the Lord, to speak the word of God without fear, or literally fearlessly. You know, the term to have far more courage, the term actually here speaks of really literally to dare abundantly. They dared abundantly to speak the word of God fearlessly. Have you ever dared abundantly to speak the word of God fearlessly? Now, I'm not talking about just throwing it out and sharing it in every situation. I'm talking about discernment as the Lord leads and opens those doors to share Christ. To dare abundantly to speak the word of God. Amazing thought. They were empowered confidence in the Lord to speak the word of God fearlessly. And don't miss it, it's the word of God that was spoken here. It was the word of God, as Paul would share, the gospel. And on a side note, do you know the word of God? Do you know the word that you could speak the word of God? They spoke the word of God. Could you share the truth of God from his word to someone else rather than paraphrasing? Yes, we do paraphrase the gospel. That's okay. But could you share the word of God? Do you know that the wages of sin is death? Do you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Could you share the word of God to someone else if the Lord opens the door? Well, these are believers here. They've only been believers for 10 years or so or less. Even less. A lot less, actually, because they came to faith when Paul was there. Even for 2 years, they're able to share the word of God fearlessly. How about you and I? Do you have the boldness and confidence in Christ, not in yourself, to share? This passage should encourage you and build you up to do so. Looking at what God did through Paul and these people should encourage us all and bring confidence in the Lord to dare, in a sense, abundantly, to share fearlessly. No fear in sharing the truth. You know, the early church was like this. Look at Acts chapter 4. The apostle Peter and John, they had been imprisoned or taken into custody and they were let go because they had healed a guy and they were let go and all the church begins to pray. Notice what they pray. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And when they had been released, that's Peter and John, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "Oh Lord, send lawyers to work over these people," right? That's not what they say. "Oh Lord, it is thou that didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say," they know the word of God, by the way, "who did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in the city they were gathered against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and all the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence." Well, the Lord answers that prayer and the earth shook, and they says later on in the same passage that they spoke the word with confidence. Folks, we often lack confidence. Now, some people have a lot of confidence in their speaking abilities or in their gospel system. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about confidence in the Lord to share the gospel to those who don't know Christ. This should encourage us, because I think we all lack in this area, if you're honest. I think we all lack confidence at times to share the gospel with those around us, daring abundantly to share fearlessly. But what God did was, through this, he brought about a tremendous result. Not only of people hearing the gospel, but believers being encouraged to share the gospel. The Philippians were concerned that maybe Paul's chains were hindering his gospel ministry, that God's word may not advance, but this is not how God works. Folks, don't lean on your own understanding concerning your circumstances. Again, if you're chained to some circumstance, don't lean on your own understanding, whatever it is. If it's not for sin, God has sovereignly led you into it. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in Him and be emboldened in Christ to dare abundantly to speak the word fearlessly. Paul saw his circumstances as part of God's grand plan to spread the word. Do you? Although he was imprisoned, the word was not imprisoned. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, a descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. Is the word of God imprisoned in you because of your attitude towards your circumstances? Is the word of God imprisoned because you fear or you're self-focused? Is it imprisoned? Well, here we see the word of God is not imprisoned. But notice, even the Apostle Paul has to qualify his statement, because there's even sinners within the ranks of believers that might even cause the Philippians to wonder, well, what's going on here? What's going on here? Look at verse 15 back in our passage. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. Now, obviously, this is referring back to the many brethren who have been emboldened by Paul's advance of the gospel in Christ to speak the word fearlessly. And within that group of those who have been emboldened, believers, by the way, he says brethren, many of the brethren, there's some within that that he needs to qualify. He needs to qualify about some of those within that group. Notice he says, verse 15, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. Very interesting statement. Paul reveals the reality of our sinful world and how sin can even infect in the midst of something good. But God is still going to use it for good. Notice he says that even his detractors, as we're going to see, that have arisen because of his imprisonment, are also going to bring glory to him. Notice he says in verse 15 that there are some preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Later on, he's going to say whether in pretense or truth. Pretense is a manufactured what you look like to hide something else underneath. He says, preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Envy is jealousy over the good of another. Do you see that in churches? Do you see people who may be jealous of someone with a spiritual gift and they want to do that? Do you see that? Yes, we do, don't we? It is jealousy over the good of another. Strife here is an interesting word because it not only speaks of just, you know, conflict, it speaks of rivalries. These guys are ministry rivals. They're believers, but they're doing it out of the wrong motives. Evidently, there were some preaching Christ had been emboldened because of Paul, his imprisonment in Christ, but they envied Paul, and they were sadly ministry rivals. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. He's going to say some want to cause distress in his imprisonment. That's the sad part. There were some preaching from goodwill and some preaching from bad motives, desiring to elevate themselves. They were jealous of the attention, obviously, Paul had received. They were jealous. Now let's compare the two groups. First, the bad. Verse 15. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife or rivalry. And then verse 17 sheds light. The former, that's speaking of them, proclaim Christ out of what? Selfish ambition, rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. And these are believers. Because he said earlier, brethren were more empowered. And then he says, some of which within that group. Well, believers do sin, don't they? But it's ugly. He says, we see their motives, verse 15, out of envy and strife, rivalry with Paul, and then selfish ambition, that's desiring to elevate themselves. Notice what he says, verse 17, the former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Wow, they actually wanted to distress Paul. That's ugly and sinful envy fueled by selfish ambition. Don't ever let that happen, brothers and sisters. If you are jealous of someone in the body of Christ, confess it right now. Confess it. Don't envy other people's gifts. Don't envy the results you see in other ministries, whatever it might be. Don't do that. Don't envy the success of other churches, whatever it might be. Don't do that. It's sin. Don't do that. And wow, could these be believers? Yes, they could. Remember, he called them brethren in 14. Notice they proclaimed the word of God, end of 14, and then they proclaimed Christ in verse 15. Again, never compare, never envy others in ministry. It leads to hurtful ugliness. And if you have done it, confess it. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. There are some emboldened to preach, notice, out of goodwill. Good desire. They want to preach Christ for good. That's what motivates them, a good will or good desire. And notice he says, the latter do it out of love. That's love for Christ and love for one another. They love God. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And they're preaching out of love. That's the right motive. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, the goal of our instruction is love, our pure heart. He says, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. They know what I've been appointed for, that the defense of the gospel. They know why I'm in chains. They understand this reason. They're not jealous of me. They're not rivalries. They know what God is doing. They understand that. Notice they preach Christ from good desires, stems from a biblical love. God had allowed it. They understood that God allowed his imprisonment for the defense of the gospel. They weren't mocking Paul. They understood it. And so they're preaching. And then notice we have this conclusion here in verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. The term pretense means what is made up to hide the intent to others. They're pretending a certain way. You're going to say pretend, pretense, right? What's made up. And he says, whatever reason, pretense or truth, that points to the rightful, loving, true motives. He gives this very curious statement. Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. This is an interesting statement. And as I came to it, you know, when we come to the Word of God, sometimes we're so literal in our mindset, we can't factor in the reality that even within believers, there are sinners that may do something that is partially right and partially wrong. Or maybe from the wrong motives, but actually the result God may use. We don't give it glory. We don't say it's good. How could Paul rejoice in the gospel being spoken by those with wrong motives trying to hurt him? First of all, these are sinning brethren, not false teachers. They were proclaiming Christ. They were proclaiming the Word of God. They were sharing, obviously in context, an accurate gospel about Jesus Christ. It was not a false gospel. They were proclaiming the truth that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, that you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. They're doing it for the wrong motives, but proclaiming the right gospel. You see, because Paul everywhere else strongly condemns the wrong gospel. If they were proclaiming a wrong gospel, he would say, let them be accursed. Later on in chapter 3, look at chapter 3 of Philippians. If these were proclaiming, they're just doing it for the wrong motives. Paul knows their motives. He's inspired by the Spirit. He knows what's going on underneath, right? Now, we don't know people's motives, but he does here. Inspired by the Spirit. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Beware of the bad guys. If these guys were false teachers, he would have said, beware of these false guys. He doesn't say that. In chapter 1 of Galatians, he says, if anyone brings a different gospel, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. Worse sin. Terrible sin. So obviously the gospel they're seeking by these sinning believers with wrong motives was not a flesh-driven, seeker-sensitive, felt-need, Christ-plus perversion of the gospel. It wasn't that. It was an accurate gospel from sinning believers. And so the Apostle Paul can rejoice because of the message that was going out. He knew their motives. You may not see their motives, but he knew their motives. So he could rejoice. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth and truth, Christ is proclaimed, preached. Paul understood the power of God's word, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He understood that. And what was the result of this? And in this, end of verse 18, I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Now the Apostle Paul would obviously address direct sin, but he's talking about the motives of people here. And he knows they're trying to hurt him, some. But within those group of being emboldened, there were those who were doing it out of goodwill. And by and large, the entire result was that the gospel was propagating. And people dared abundantly to speak fearlessly. And he rejoiced over that. Well, how about us? Do we see our circumstances rightly? For some of you, you need to see the fact you're a sinner on the way to hell. But God's gracious. He sent His Son, Jesus. Turn to Him. We sang that song earlier. Only trust Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He leads you to life. He leads you from death to life. What about other situations? Has God allowed you to be imprisoned by things? You may be bound by some things. If they're because of your wrong actions, humble yourself and admit it. Confess it. God is a good, gracious, merciful God. He will forgive you. Move forward with consequences, maybe by His grace not, you never know. Move forward. David had consequences. Trust the Lord. And as you follow Him, when you encounter things because you have obeyed the Lord, recognize that God uses that for good. What has God chained you to? What are you chained to? Where you think it's hindering your walk with Jesus or the ministry? It's not. Be encouraged and emboldened to share the gospel fearlessly as God opens the doors.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our time together before we close the program, I want to go back to a statement that you made earlier in the message. You asked the question, if someone was chained to you and observed you in the midst of a difficult time in your life, would they be motivated to speak the truth of Christ because of your example? I think it's a fascinating thought to ponder.
Well, Dave, we know that the guards who were chained to the Apostle Paul while he was in a dark, dingy, smelly Roman prison saw a genuine faith that was compelling. It was so compelling that when their shift was over, they went back to the rest of their guard buddies and told them about the Jesus that Paul had shared with them. And my question to our listeners is simply this. Are those who are closest to you being inspired to know and follow Jesus Christ by how you live or not? Is your life a living example of the truth of Scripture, a genuine relationship with Christ? If you're not sure, or if you know it's not, then I would ask you to examine yourself in light of God's Word. Confess any sin, any wrong or selfish thinking that God has exposed. The world is watching to see how you will respond when you're treated unfairly or when you face tragic circumstances. And folks, we know from the Word of God that God uses our response to difficult situations as a platform for His gospel truth. It's my prayer that we would humble ourselves, confess sin, and follow Christ wholeheartedly so that those who don't know Him may see Him in our lives and that Christ may open the door for His glorious gospel and that many may be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.